Steve Allen is the composer of over 4,000 songs, a musical composer, a satirist. His songs include This Could Be the Start of Something Big and the official theme song for the National Football League Hall of Fame. He pioneered the talk show format, produced documentaries, wrote a report on farm labor conditions, won the Drama Critics nomination for his play The Wake, based on his novel of the same name. Allen is in the Television Academy's Hall of Fame. He is known as the King of the Ad-Libbers. He won an Emmy for his TV series Meeting of the Minds and the Steve Allen Comedy Hour. He's influenced a generation of entertainers. On his last show, Dave Letterman acknowledged Allen as one of his inspirations. In the lobby of the Westin Hotel after his Westlake performance, I asked Allen how he stays fresh, juggling all his interests.
Some young critic, I would never have thought of this again, except in response to your question, this goes back about 10 or 12 years, he was writing what turned out to be a nice piece about me for some hip paper. It wasn't, it might have been the Village Voice, or one of those kind of hip New York papers. And he was just making what to him seemed a factual observation, not especially a compliment. I don't remember the exact words, but his point was that I do in comedy what jazz musicians do in music. Ideally, if Lester Young, let's say, played Honeysuckle Rose 100 times, he never played it the same way twice. It was always something fresh about it, although he might repeat a lick or two. So that's, for better or for worse, that's how I act. I perform when I do my, quote, act, end quote. I have had situations where there was a more organized show. For example, when I played Vegas, I recognized that the owners would be a little nervous, people paying all that money to see me, and I couldn't even tell them what I was going to do that night. So I would sometimes book other acts, let's say a boy singer, a girl singer, a juggler or whatever. And in that case, we would indeed have a rundown. But as to what my mouth said in and around that structure, that was always loose, and you know, they didn't care as long as it turned out to be funny.
Did you like playing Vegas?
Yes and no. If you could say on a broader scale, how do you like living on the planet Earth? The answer is yes and no for all of us. You know, some things about it are great, and there's always negatives in any situation, however otherwise rosy. However, was a glamorous venue, and it paid very well. Basically, I enjoyed it.
I don't know if the same person who did his TV show like the Meeting of Minds would be the same person that would enjoy a Vegas show.
There often is a little philosophical thread that runs through my shows. I didn't even plan that. I didn't even realize it until fairly recently in my life. But as I sometimes listen to tapes of shows I've done, I think, it sounds like a dumb way to put it, but I think that's an interesting point I made there. You know, it occurred to me, whatever it was about rock music or, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches or whatever. I have a book coming out of such reflections. It's not all the interesting ideas I've ever had, because that would take about 30 books, but it's a sampling of my random thinking. Not much of it occurred to me on stage, but some of it did. All day long, I am dictating into a machine I always have with me. I don't mean 24 hours a day I'm dictating, but literally every few minutes during the day, if I'm not otherwise occupied, I dictate something.
What ideas? Just inspiration? What's on there now? What did you just...
Let me see. I was dictating something just before I left the hotel. I mean, the Sixth Avenue Inn. Let me see what it is. The reason I use this is because I have what seems to me a poor memory.
Corporation...
Yeah. By the way, you'll hear punctuation. I always dictate punctuation when I write.
Why do you do that?
Because otherwise it gets all screwed up. They don't know where to put the commas and the periods and all that stuff. So I save them that wonderment.
Heroic.
Sorry to hold up your radio show here.
We're just listening anyway.
All right, you don't have to hear the whole thing. Wait till I get a piece. I think it was somewhere. It has to do with the question as to who deserves credit for doing something about the pollution of air, water, and soil.
In favor.
Damn, this was a long one.
You must have been thinking a long time.
I can generally tell by how long I talked, many lines are going to be involved. I think this looks like almost a two-pager.
What do you do with it? What do you do with that information somebody types it up?
Somebody types it up, and I instruct at the beginning of each nugget of dictation how it is to be dealt with, simply by giving the title, if there is already a title, or the filing term. It would be better, let's say, if I'm at a given moment writing a novel, if for 6 months I dictated nothing but chunks of that novel, but I can't do that. I can dictate for 6 months about the novel, but at the same time, on the average day, I'll think of 8 jokes, 3 or 4 philosophical observations, 2 suicide notes, a summons, a subpoena, all possible categories, music ideas, song ideas, ideas for plays and what have you. And then, so that's why I have to say at the beginning, this is for How's Your Sister, if that were the title of a book I were working on. Or this is for funny stuff. Funny stuff means that all the funny ideas for jokes, plays, whatever, get into that particular file. And the files concretely are, for such ideas anyway, a series of about 1,800 black 3-ring loose leaf notebooks, stamped on the spine in gold lettering, and preserved that way just in chronological order. We need no card file for it, because it's chronologically and alphabetically arranged, so it's easy to find material. And from a gleaning of another category called ideas, which is just a loose term to describe almost any kind of an idea that isn't properly sent to funny stuff or politics or whatever, there's this book coming out, published by Prometheus, called Reflections. It's a kind of book that was common 50 or 100 years ago. You would get it from Emerson or Thoreau or whoever. Just a little, you know, generally 5 or 6 or 14-line observations. And in a time when people were more interested in ideas than they are apparently at present, such books had an audience.
Beyond the false modesty of the question like this kind of engenders, do you think that you have a different kind of mind than most people?
Yeah, I'm a freak, and I can't take credit for that. By the way, the modesty is not false.
No, it wouldn't be yours, but if you were to give me some.
I'm as willing to be conceited as anybody, but I've never been able to figure out a reason to be, to take the question of creativity at its essential and broad level, it is one of the remaining mysteries to professional psychologists and philosophers. Poets don't know much about the creativity of poetry. They simply create it, and hooray for that. And composers don't really understand much about, you know, Hank Mancini, I can assure you, has no idea how he can do all those pretty things he does with notes. But it remains to others, observers of such fields, to try to formulate philosophical constructs that, quote, explain, end quote, how the man can paint those wonderful pictures or the woman can write that lovely play. And the big scientific result of such introspection and research is beats the hell out of me, Lieutenant. Seriously. The two classic theories are both obviously nonsense if you subject them to scrutiny. One is that it's disembodied spirits called muses that account for all that great playwriting. That's nonsense, because there are no muses. Now that settles that. We don't have to go on at length. The other classic theory is God deserves all the credit, but that makes no sense to me, although I assume there is a God. I don't know there is, but it seems to me a reasonable assumption. But most of the poetry in the world is lousy, most of the painting is lousy, most of the songwriting is lousy, and do we want to blame God for all that garbage? I don't think so. So we're back to the blank slate. Nobody has any idea why some people are just, quote, gifted, end quote, are enabled to do certain things. And nothing so dramatizes the weirdness of the mystery as those unfortunate souls that we call idiot savants. As you know, an idiot savant is someone who is very inferior, can hardly find his way home, perhaps can't, has trouble tying his shoelaces, forgets his middle name, and so forth. But in one regard, is not only okay, but superior. There's one black fellow who is a marvelous sculptor. I mean, his work could be exhibited in any museum, and you'd never say, what's that junk doing here? It's great stuff. But again, he doesn't even know his name. You know, I mean, he's in big trouble with the rest of his brain. And there are instances of idiot savants who suddenly, at the age of 26, went to a piano for the first time and sat down and played it. I mean, played an actual song of some kind. Now, as a pianist, I can tell you that's not possible. But it's happening. So my brain seems to me a little like that. Nobody ever asked me, would you like to have brown eyes, or is there some other color that would please you? And nobody ever asked me, would you like to be able to make people laugh very easily, or would you like to be able to write thousands of songs? It's all, I think, genetic, which focuses the mystery a little bit but doesn't resolve it.
I was reading a book about fuzzy logic.
Yeah,
which
the author sent me that 2 days ago.
And what it talks about is essentially sort of a quest for that same answer to that mystery. And
mm-hmm.
the brain just sort of searches at random, and some brains seem to find connections.
Yeah. Yeah, my brain is very clever. Notice I'm not saying I'm very clever, because I'm not. I'm kind of goofy sometimes. But there's something up there that is fantastic at making quick associations. That ability accounts either totally or at least in very large part for my ability to hear something and immediately give a funny answer to it. And sometimes I, as another critic once said, I play straight for myself. One part of my brain hears my mouth saying something, and the judgmental part realizes what I just said is either stupid or weird or has an accent or something strange about it. And then that other part makes a joke about what my mouth just said.
This is music from Steve Allen's latest release, Steve Allen Plays Jazz Tonight. It's called Steve's Blues.